Amen. Amen. I just want to remind you, if you are a member of this church, next Sunday is Vision Sunday. And so at the end of the service, we are going to have a chili cook-off and a dessert cook-off, all right? And it gets a little competitive, so we're going to stay in a spirit of unity and love, and we're going to encourage and love each other. But we want to encourage all of you, even if you're not a member of the church, you're welcome to do that. But if you're going to, I'm looking for some of you who may be new to the church. We do have a grand champion, but I believe that we probably have a newbie in the house who's going to outdo him this year. So I put that challenge out for you and encourage you to join us with that vision. And then the vision meeting will happen at the after that mealtime, so I encourage you to come out for that. Also, we are going to be ratifying a new board member, Chuck Oleg. Where are you at, Chuck? Right there in the back. There's Chuck. Chuck's been a part of our church for a couple years, and so if you have any questions for him, please feel free to go ahead and ask him. And today is the last day. If you have any new business for the vision meeting, today is the last day to submit that question, that information. So we want to get right into the message today. Now, many of you, if you were here last week, you know that there was a medical emergency situation where we had to stop halfway through the service. I just want you to know the gentleman who was taken out by the paramedics, he is doing great, okay? Let's give God praise. Yeah. So I believe that your prayers worked, and in fact, he was released from the hospital later that afternoon, and we've been able to help this gentleman with some other situations and some circumstances in his life. Because of your giving, because of your faithfulness to this church, we were able to help him with some of the needs that he was experiencing. So with that, I felt like with the message that I was talking about, we're talking about going all in. And we talked a few weeks ago about prayer and fasting, how important it is that we need to learn how to feed ourselves. And last week I was talking about the Word of God and how to study your Bible. And I just felt like that was such an important topic. If you can learn to feed yourself spiritually, The growth and impact that comes from that, you grow exponentially. That is the definition of spiritual maturity. I just felt like I need to do this again. I need to talk about this subject. So if some of the things that I'm sharing to you is that, like, I thought I heard that last week. You're right. And thank you for paying attention last week. But if you'll allow me to redo this message because I didn't get to finish it, I want to go there. I just feel like it is so important. I think it's one of the most important things that I can do as a pastor is to teach you how to study your Bible. So we've started off this year, we started off a few weeks ago with 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I say this every year. If you're new today, and you just got here and you didn't realize there's a 21 days of prayer and fasting, last week we changed it to 14 days in prayer and fasting, but if you're new today, we've just changed it to 7 days of prayer and fasting, all right? And I just want to encourage you, if you're looking to go all in for Jesus this year, start through prayer and fasting. I encourage you to fast something this week. It doesn't have to be food. Maybe it's social media, maybe it's your phone, but it is giving up something that you like to pursue something that you need. So how many of you, you're here today, you've been a Jesus follower for a while, maybe you're just kind of new at this Jesus follower thing, but you feel like your faith journey is kind of like this. You get some, really some high moments, and that was the moment that you gave your heart to Jesus, and then just kind of getting low and getting out. How many can relate to this kind of faith journey? How many of you can relate to that? Yeah, I can relate to that. In fact, I wrestled with this as a teenager. I just got tired of living my faith like up and down. I don't want to live like that. I want to live like this. And I was at youth camp one year, and there was a speaker who spoke to us, and he challenged us. I mean, don't live your faith like this. You were meant to live like this. And I remember going and sitting through a special session and him teaching us, teaching me how to pray, how to have a daily time with God, keeping it simple. And that's why I talked to you a few weeks ago about using the Lord's Prayer as a template of how you can talk to God. And then he talked to us about how to read your Bible. How many of you got your Bibles in the house today? You can hold up your phone, too, if that's what you use electronically. We're talking about the Bible today. He taught us how to read our Bible. And he talked about having a growth plan, a spiritual growth plan, where we seek God. That's the first thing that we do every morning is we seek God in prayer, and we seek him in his word. I know of a pastor who I was reading through his book, and listening to a podcast, I believe, and he's talking about how God was convicting him to make God the first thing in his morning. And he says, God so convicted me that I wanted to make sure God was the first thing I did in the morning, that when I would roll out of bed, I would roll right to my knees, and I would just begin to pray, God, I need you today. The first thing I do. How many of you notice that when you wake up in the morning, and I'm this way, I wake up in the flesh. How many of you wake up in the flesh every morning? Man, I'm crabby. Oh, I'm just not myself. And so he's like, man, the first thing I do is I want to wake up, and I want to get my God on, if you will. And so I want to talk to you about having these spiritual disciplines in your life. And I believe this. When I was a teenager, teaching me how to pray and teaching me how to read the Bible, that was all well and good, but it's only just words until I started to apply it to my life. And I promise you, my senior year, it went from this to this. It changed my life, changed the direction of my life, because each and every day I was starting my day in the Word of God, and I'd drive my car to school, and instead of going with my big woofers that I put in the back of my car, I turn it off, and I'm just talking to God, and I would begin to show up at school, and I would have friends tell me, and they would say things like this: there's something different about you. There's something different about you. What is it? And God would just begin to open up opportunities like I've never seen before, and I begin to pray for my friends and have situations. I'm telling you, if you will apply these disciplines that I'm talking to you about today, I promise you it will change your life. So today I want to talk about this thing called growing daily. Grow daily. Somebody told me you either grow daily or you die gradually. You either grow daily or you die gradually. I talked about this last week, that there's really three parts that make up every person. Three parts. There's the physical, and there is the soul, and that is our mind, our emotion, but then there is the spiritual. And I promise you, you really are emphasizing one or two of those. But the one that you are lacking in, the one that you're not feeding, is the one that is dying. And the one that you are feeding is the one that is growing in your life. I want to ask you today, of those three areas, which one are you feeding the most, and which one are you allowing to die? Which one are you allowing to die? I want you to know that the Acts 2 church, where we've been talking about, the very first church, I believe that they changed the world because of their devotion. I want you to know they went all in with Jesus. These were just new believers. Maybe you're a new believer today, but I want you to know that because of their devotion, it changed their lives and it changed their world. It says all the believers, these new believers, they devoted themselves. Everybody say devoted. You know what that word means? Devoted means they went all in. They went all in. It wasn't just like, oh, okay, well, I'll read my Bible today, or just, no. It wasn't just to pursue a Bible reading plan or anything like that. They wanted to go all in to know this Jesus, to make this Jesus a part of their lives, because they have seen what he did, and they wanted that for their own lives. And so they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which is the word of God, to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. You see, these disciplines put them in daily connection with God. These daily disciplines, if you don't like the word discipline, some people don't like that, these habits that they put into their lives, It changed their lives, and it not only changed their lives, but it changed the world around them. We're going to talk about that next week. So again, the other week we talked about prayer. Today I want to talk about the Bible, which is often referred to as God's Word. God's Word. It is the all-time leading selling book in all of history. I talked about this last week. In 50 years, there have been 3.9 billion Bibles that have been sold in the world. And it has been tested, it has been challenged, and it has passed the test of authenticity. Believe me, the world does not like that it is the top-selling book in all of the world. The world does not like it, and so there's always trying to refute it, always trying to challenge its authenticity, and everything that has been thrown at this, it doesn't stick. So why? Why? Why is it so important for you to study your Bible each and every day? Again, as I was saying before, every day, every single day, we are putting things into our lives. Right? We are putting things, whether it's through social media, whether things that we're watching on TV is on the computer, to the people that we're around, we are putting ideas, we're putting things into our lives. Paul tells us this in Galatians 6:7. He says, you will always harvest what you plant. You will always harvest. In other words, what you feed is what grows. What you put into your life is what's going to come out of your life. So if you just stop right here and you're just like, just take a self-examination, and if you're not liking what's happening in your life or the attitudes and the words that are coming out of your life, you need to just stop and ask yourself, where is this coming from? Where are these ideas coming from? I remember when I was in college, and I think I've told you this before, I used to drive a taxi cab as a job when I was in college. And I think that job prepared me for ministry more than my college training did. But I remember, you know, just driving on the road and just listening to this music that was being played all the time on the radio. And I'm just like, man, I just felt convicted one day that what I'm listening to all night long, I would drive like a 12-hour shift. It was a crazy job. But I was listening to all this stuff, and I just felt like it was affecting my thought life. You ever notice that? Some of the things that you put into your life, it just affects the way you think, the way you act, the way you feel, your attitude. And I just felt such a conviction about it. And I was just like, I got to turn this off. And I began to dial around, and I found a Christian radio station. And I'm like, well, what are my customers going to think? I don't care what my customers think. I care about what I'm feeding in my mind. And I started, and all of a sudden, it began to change my thinking. It began to change my attitude. Because what Paul says, what you harvest, what you put into the ground, is what you're going to receive. So you either feed your, I want you to know this, you either feed your spirit or the world will. Let me say that one more time. Either you feed your spirit or the world will. That's why Jesus tells us in John 8:31, he says, if you abide, everybody say abide. Abide, this is really important. Jesus, that Hebrew word, it's a Hebrew word, abide means to live in connection, to stay connected. If you stay connected in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you know what will happen? When you abide in God's word, all of a sudden you will know what is true in this world. And when you know what is true in this world, that truth will set you free. Or some of you are here today, or some of you are watching online, and I just hit a word, ding, 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 free. Or some of you who are not living in freedom, and I want you to know the answers to having your freedom. You feel like you're a slave today, and I want you to know the answers to you being set free are found in God's word. Listen to what Paul says here, Romans 10:17. He says, so then faith is that's what we're living out here, our faith journey. Your faith journey, it comes, you grow by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By the word of God, by you taking in the word of God, your faith begins to grow. Again, what you put into your life is what's going to grow. That's just a fact. What you put into your life is what's going to grow. So again, I want you to know this morning, I think the most important thing that I can do as your pastor is to teach you how to study your Bible. I want to go through this just quickly here. I want you to write down some of these notes because I believe like it changed my life, these simple steps, like it changed my life, I believe it can change your life if you will apply it, okay? You ready to go? Let's do this. First of all, the 7 steps to effective Bible study. First of all, you need to decide the need. Jesus tells us, he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, you don't need to convince me that I need bread. You don't need to convince me that I need some food. You don't need to convince me that I'm going to need lunch after this morning's service. You don't need to convince me because I know, well, it's just delicious, whatever I'm eating, but it nourishes my body. It gives me strength. But I ask you this morning, do you believe that God's word can nourish your spiritual condition? Does this word nourish it? And that's what Jesus said. God's word will give you spiritual nourishment. Second thing that you need to do then, if you realize that I need it, then the second thing you need to do is I need to accept it. I need to accept the Bible for what it is. And I want you to know that there's great debate about this topic, but the Bible is not some unreliable book written by the opinions of man. But I want you to know as you begin to study this book, this Bible, you will discover it is God's love letter. It's a love letter that is written to you. It is God's book of truth and revelations. In a world where we're searching for truth, what is truth? We can find truth in God's word, and it is God's life manual written for you. Listen very closely to what the Apostle Paul says here in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And just pause here for a second. Understand that Paul at one time was a skeptic, a huge skeptic. This whole Jesus thing, he was not buying into it. I mean, he was a stone thrower at people who accepted and acknowledged this, probably like my friend was talking about in India. He just did not believe it. And then he accepted Jesus. He received Jesus, acknowledged him, and he accepted that he needed him in his life. Now listen to what Paul, the apostle, says here. He says, all scripture is inspired by God. In some translations, it says it is God breathe. When you talk, you breathe out, you say these words. It is the word of God speaking. And it is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. How many of you have discovered that? Something is wrong in your life, and I just don't know what it is, and you just dare open this book, and you're like, oh, that's a thing. Oh, now I understand why I feel that way, because now it's reaffirmed in God's word. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Now here, there's a problem in our country, not only in this country, but I believe in the world. There's a situation where there are Christians, people who wear the name of Jesus, say, I'm a Jesus follower. Do we have any Jesus followers in the house today? Raise your hand if you're a Jesus follower. Give a shout out to Jesus this morning. Can we go ahead and do that? Yeah, I'm a Jesus follower. But there's a problem, because there are people who call themselves Christians, but they do not know what they believe. They don't know. I mean, they have a general idea, but they don't know what they believe. It is called biblical illiteracy. In other words, I go to church every Sunday. I get an idea of what the pastor's talking about. You know, I do that. And people just live in Sunday to Sunday. But they don't know because they're just taking my word for it. I don't know. But you've never cracked open this Bible. You see, the Barna Report, a Barna is an organization that studies church health and situations. And they said this, over half of all churchgoers are now unable to identify basic biblical priorities, including the Great Commission. In other words, some people are like, we have our brother who is just up here talking about what he's doing in India, scratching his head like, what's he doing that for? Why would he do that? That makes no sense. Because they don't know. And those were Jesus' last words, go into all the earth and proclaim the gospel. According to the American Bible Society in 2022, America's view on the Bible, 22% believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. I should have started with that. Only 22% of all Jesus followers believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. And that's challenging. Challenging. You see, the danger is when people don't know what they believe, they'll believe anything, and they'll believe everything. And to believe anything and to believe everything is really to believe in nothing at all, correct? If you don't know what you believe, and that's why it's so important that you don't take my word as your pastor, don't take my word for it. Discover it yourself. Know what you believe. How does the Bible help us? The Bible answers the biggest questions that we have in life. Some of you have been asking these questions all of your life. Questions like, where did I come from? What is my purpose in life? What happens to me when I die? The Bible answers those life questions that we have. It gives us instructions for living an abundant life, not just a normal life, but Jesus says, I want to give to you an abundant life. Well, what does that mean? It gives us instructions to have eternal life, that we don't have to live in fear, worry, and doubt, and anxiety about death, but we have an eternal hope in heaven. That the Bible tells us that we can know the difference between right and wrong. The Bible talks to us about the most important relationships in our life, our relationship with our marriage, our relationship with our friends, with our neighbors, our relationship with people that we don't even like. The Bible gives us instructions on how to live out those relationships. It convicts us when we do things that are wrong. It equips us for know how to live out our purpose. You know, by the way, you know what your purpose is? You can say it in this phrase. I love how this phrase sums up our purpose in life. Your purpose is to know God and to make Him known. And I want you to know this morning, the only way you are truly going to know God is for you to abide with Him or connect with Him on a daily basis. The only way you're going to know God is for you to know His Word. Amen? Know His Word. There's a current trend that is out there today that is referred to, some people might say, well, I'm deconstructing my faith. How many of you have heard that before? People are like, I'm just deconstructing their faith. And what they're saying is, listen, they're not arguing with you about the Bible. They're just saying there are some parts I do not like. There's some parts I disagree with. And there's some parts that I'm choosing not to believe, okay? And I talked about this last week, but the thought that comes to my mind is when, and I was very good at this, I would get my report, I would get my test back from the teacher, all right? And it would be filled with this thing called red markings. Red markings. And it just seemed to be, there was more red markings than pencil markings on my paper. And I just feel like the teacher is telling me, wrong, wrong, wrong. Maybe I can understand what I'm talking about. You're just wrong. And I think that when people begin to deconstruct their faith, it is the epitome of spiritual pride. I'm not throwing stones here. Listen, I'm not throwing stones. I understand questioning God. I have lots of questions for God. But when you say, when you look through your Bible, wrong, wrong, that's the epitome. You're telling God, you're telling the inspired word of God, you're wrong. You're wrong. And so I'm going to cut that out, and I'm going to put in what I like. Now, there it's right. You know what you have just done? You have just, this is where Adam and Eve got in trouble. You have made yourself equal or above God. And I'm going to tell you right now, that is a dangerous place to live. This place, this you talk about fear, worry, you talk about problems in your life. This is a place of problems. And so I just want to challenge you, just be careful of that mindset. My point is, if we don't accept the Bible for what it is, it will never impact your life. If you don't accept it. So the first thing that says you got to see the need for it. I need this in my life. The second thing is I have to accept it, that it is the Word of God. The third thing, we're going to move quickly here, we need to make it right for you. So I challenge you to find a time, the right time, that you're going to have that time with God. You're going to get into God's Word. You're going to find the right place, a place where you will not be distracted, that you can have that time and that place with God. You need to find the right Bible that works for you. You will notice that many of the scripture verses, oftentimes I will use the New Living Translations, but I believe all the translations that are out there, they line up with the Word of God. I could talk more about translations, but I'm not going to, but I believe New Living Translation, NIV, New King James Version, I support these versions. I encourage you, find the one that works for you. The next thing I encourage you to do is find the right reading plan. And if you go to youversion.com or bible.com, this is a great website where you will find a ton of Bible reading plans. I'm telling you, when you have a Bible reading plan, you are more prone to stay consistent with it. But I know some people, they throw the Bible up in the air and wherever it lands, they open up and that's where they read it. I don't encourage you to do that. If you are new in your faith journey, or if you are, you're not even in Christ, but you consider yourself somebody who is a seeker, I do not encourage you to read from the beginning to the end. I encourage you, if you get to know Jesus, it will help you understand all of the rest. And so I tell people, if you're new or you're seeking, you're looking for answers, go to the book of John and read. And I think the book of John, it clarifies who Jesus is. It really reveals who Jesus was more than all the other gospels. That's my personal recommendation. But also, I want you to know we're starting something new this year. And each and every month, we're going to put out a Bible reading plan called SOAP. SOAP. And so you can get that at the Connect Center as you leave. But it's just a 2 or 3 chapter of reading of the Bible each and every week, and we'll talk more about that. The fourth thing we need to do is don't just read it, study it. Now, this has happened to me time and time again. Sometimes I'm in the morning, and I'm just like, and I have to stop. I'm like, you're just reading words. Stop. Go back. Study this. That's why I have a study Bible. It's called the Fire Bible, and it's got a great commentary to it. Find something that with a great commentary that you trust, but don't just read it, study it. Joshua says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be able to you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. I encourage you, it's not about the quantity of how much you read, it's the quality. Pursue the quality and meditate on it. I'm going to continue on here quickly here. I tell people, so now that you're in the Word and you're reading it, I say, find the download. Find the download. Hey, everybody, we know what a download is. Some of you have been getting downloads on your phone all throughout this service. Okay, I get these downloads. I get these messages from the fire department whenever there's a call. I get a download. I get a message that there's a situation that's happening. I just get a tiny, tiny summary of what's happening at that situation. I'm getting a word. Or some of you send me texts. You send me text messages. That's a download. I want you to know that God wants to give you a download every single day. God's got a download for you. But you get, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to go through my phone to get to all these different apps. Well, you have to go through your Bible to find what that download is for you. Listen to what Paul says here, 1 Corinthians. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit, for His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. I believe God's got a word for you. I believe God's got something He wants to share with you even today, but you got to find it. I remember I used to have a crazy Uncle Joe, and we'd be playing in the sandbox at my grandma's house. And crazy Uncle Joe would stop by and say, "Hey, boys, you know, I put a silver dollar in that sandbox there. If you find it, it's yours." Now, crazy Uncle Joe would walk away. What do you think we did? What do you think us boys did? Man, what if each and every morning when we opened up God's Word, we went looking for that silver dollar? Because I believe God's got a silver dollar in there for you. Let me continue on here. Once you find that silver dollar, for God so loved the world, just stop right there. There it is. God's got a message for me today. God not only loves me, but He loves the rest of the world. Next thing you need to do is you need to write it down. Habakkuk says, "Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets. Write it in a journal, so that a runner can carry the correct messages to others." So I do that every morning. I go through this plan here, and I write in my journal just downloads that I feel like God has given to me. I just take one page here. But I encourage you to get a journal. You don't have to write a lot, just one or two sentences. But we follow this thing called the SOAP method. The SOAP method. And this is what it is. It's an acrostic for a scripture. So this is what I do. So when I read that, or read the two chapters for the day, what is the scripture that God is saying to me? So I'll write down that scripture. And it's amazing how that scripture comes alive to me the more I write it down. And then I write down an observation. O stands for observation. What do I feel like God is saying in this? And then A stands for application. What do I believe God is telling me to do about this? And then I'll write down a short prayer. And it's amazing how God's word comes alive to me when I write it down. The seventh thing you need to do is let it become you. Let it become you. Life change doesn't happen because you read your Bible. Let me say that one more time. Life change doesn't happen just because you read your Bible. Life change happens when you begin to live it. Life change happens when you live the Word of God. You see, the definition, all of us really, what we're in need of is this thing called spiritual maturity. And that word maturity is when you begin to do what you know is true. When you begin to do, see, we know what is true. We know what we should do. We know what is true. It's just the doing part that's the difficult. But maturity is when we begin to do what we know is true. I love this in the Message Bible. The Message Bible is a paraphrase version of the Bible. Just want to point that out. But Eugene Peterson says this in Matthew 7:24. He says, "These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to live, to build a life upon. If you're looking for blessings in your life, you want God's anointing on your life, listen to this next part. He says, if, everybody say if. If, you know, that if word means you have a decision to make. It's your decision, you decide. But if you do decide to do that, if you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on the solid rock. James tells us that you will be blessed if you do. Now, we talked about two habits. We talked about the habit of prayer, and we've talked about the habit of getting into God's Word. Let me just go quickly here through this last habit. I think it's just so important that we begin to grow together. Everybody say the word together. Together. So that's why we're here today. Talking about the early church. It said here that they worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in the homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. You see, daily they were praying, daily they were seeking God's word, and daily they were connecting together. I want you to know this. Just hear me loud and clear. You grow stronger in your faith when you grow together. You grow stronger in your faith when you grow together. I want to challenge you in 2024 to get outside of your box. Get out of your comfort zone. We have a lot of new people here at Thrive Church. It's happened here in the past 9 or 10 months. A lot of new folks. But you don't know anybody because you kind of stayed in your box. You need this. The lobby needs to be the most crowded place in this whole building at the end of the service. Some of you, you're running out the door. I'm going to start locking the doors and putting guards there if you keep doing that. You're running out the door. You're not growing together. We need to connect and grow together. Here's a couple community connections here at Thrive Church is our Sunday services. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're watching online, but I'm telling you, it's better in person. It's better in person. Second thing that you need to do is get into a life group. Get into a life group. We have a lot of life groups, and I'm going to tell you, we do not have enough life groups for the size of this church. We need more life groups. But I'm going to tell you, again, I attend a life group of pastors, and that connection that I have with my brothers who are pastors and God, I am a much better pastor. I'm a better husband. I'm a better person because of this connection that I have with these brothers in Christ. And I encourage you to find it. Again, that's what this early church did. They grew stronger in their faith because they grew together. I want to encourage some of you who are new to Thrive Church, or maybe new in your faith, or you're seeking God, you're trying to figure out what this other is. I have started a life group in the room just right over here on Wednesday nights at 6:30. It's called Faith Foundations. And if you're looking for answers, I'm not sure. Some of you say, I'll be honest, maybe I'm a little biblical illiterate. That's fair. That's cool. But I want to invite you to come to my life group. And this one, I typically prefer no groups bigger than 10 or 12, but I'm going to open it up to as many people that can fit in that room. And we're going to talk about some of these things, but we're going to do it in a life group format. I'm not going to teach you or preach at you, but we're going to do faith together. I want to encourage you to sign up for that. It's called Faith Foundation. I encourage you, the more you get involved in Thrive Church, to get on a ministry team. That's how this church runs, just teams of ministry. I'm telling you, you just grow so much when you start serving with brothers and sisters in Christ. And last of all, I encourage you to pursue and develop life-giving friendships. Again, don't make me lock those doors. Don't sneak out the doors. get to know people. I tell people, some people say, I don't need to go to church. Jesus, okay, all right, fine, you don't need to come to church. But I tell them, I said, you know, maybe you don't need the people in this church, but I promise you, there's probably people in that church who need you, who need to hear your story, need to hear your testimony, need to hear your encouragement. You see, God built us this way. We need each other. Our God is a relational God. That's how we're built in the image of God. Amen. I hope that these past few messages have encouraged you. But all these things are just words until you start applying them to your life. So I want to encourage you, challenge you, that you start today. You set aside a time today that you spend some time with God in prayer. You just talk to Him. Use the Lord's Prayer as a format. That you get into God's Word. We have a SOAP reading plan for you to follow and just search for that nugget. But then you start to grow together with other brothers and sisters. Amen? Amen? And that's the church. That is the church. That's what it means to go all in. We're going to talk more about this next week. We're going to finish this all in series. But can I just pray blessings over you? Before I do that, maybe you're here today and you are that seeker that I was talking about. And you've never accepted Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life. And you realize you need Him. You realize something is missing inside of you. I want you to know that's Jesus. And He wants to fill your life. He wants to change your life. He wants to save you. So if you're here today, can I encourage you to just pray this prayer along with me? Everybody just bow your heads and just say, God, I need you. Say with all your heart, God, I need you. I realize what you did for me on the cross. You saved me from my sins. And I don't know everything about you, but I do understand this. I need you. So I'm inviting you to come and live inside of my life, to change me from the inside out. And God, I don't know all that this means, but I just know today I'm choosing to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, I pray for everyone who is here today, wherever they're at in their faith journey, God, that you would just challenge them, God, with that desire, put that desire for them to abide in relationship with you through prayer, through the study of your word, God, that we would know what we believe, Father, and through living in community, connecting together. It's in your name that we pray. And everyone said, amen. Let's give God a shout out this morning. Amen.
Thank you so much for checking out the Thrive Church podcast. I hope you were inspired by the message today. If you liked what you heard, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast so we can impact more lives. Remember, wherever you are in your faith journey, you are welcome, loved, and accepted. Have a wonderful day.